Mini episode 406 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs, consulting, and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody, we're taking a look down south, the NFC South right now. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross in the FDH Lounge. We're taking a look back to 2013 to take a look ahead to 2014, what will be the landscape in the NFC South. Two teams have made the playoffs from the division a year ago, Carolina and New Orleans. And I can tell from talking to Kyle off air that we're coming at this from different perspectives. I'm going to have Carolina repeating as division champions, New Orleans missing the playoffs. Versus Kyle, you got that going the other way around.
Yeah. When you look at this division, the macro level, including the other two, Atlanta and Tampa Bay, huge divide between the top two and the bottom two.
Last year.
This was a division that I think going into the year, everyone thought would be kind of squished together.
Right.
Turned out that you had Carolina and New Orleans way up here, Atlanta and Tampa Bay way down there, the other two 4-12. I always reference this every year when we talk about the NFC South. There's never been a repeat division winner.
You've always been right about that.
Yes. So that works against Carolina. They got hot down the stretch. Now, Carolina, keep in mind, was a team I've liked that had underperformed my expectations for a couple years. 2 years ago, I picked them to make the playoffs. They didn't. And then last year, they chose to. I was a year early on them. I think a lot of that had to do with Ron Rivera coaching for his job.
Well, let me.
I know they had a great defense.
Let me get all urban on you by spelling the word T-H-O. That defense, though, I mean, they are amazing and young.
It's a good group.
And,
it's a good group.
Yeah.
But the offense around Cam Newton is not very good.
True.
And
he needs help with the skill positions.
Yes. And you have to think they may actually wind up trading up if they can, even in a deep receiver class. Because you don't want to, like, wait till everyone gets better. Than, you know, because when you look at the teams that are going to draft a receiver potentially in the first round, Carolina will be the last of those teams.
Right.
You know, obviously, some people say the Raiders may take Watkins at number five. Other teams looking at receivers, you have the Rams, maybe with their second pick. Steelers are a candidate to do so. The Ravens, Jets, Eagles, Browns with their second pick. So Carolina wants to be careful there. They may wind up trading up. I just think that given the history of this division and the fact that Carolina jumped from 7 to 12 wins last year, that they fit the profile of a team that will drop back.
Okay.
Now, I know New Orleans kind of did the same. New Orleans was a team I was higher on than anybody.
You were right about
last
that.
Year.
Yeah.
I said they were my pick to be the non-playoff team to get the bye this year. They actually, it looked like they were going to be that team until the end of the year Carolina lapped them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works in the Saints' favor because they didn't win the division. Jimmy Graham's situation is interesting. They're going to bring him back. By the way, as a fantasy guy, how intriguing is that whole situation? Is he a receiver? Is he a tight end?
Yeah.
I love that whole debate.
I mean,
as someone who's trying to get mandatory tight ends out of my fantasy league, I want him to be dubbed as a receiver so bad.
And I'm in a super old school league. Well, actually, they're sister leagues. They've been around since 93 and 94, but they have the same set of rules. We've never had mandatory tight ends because back then it was a little bit more loose and relaxed on that three wide receiver / tight end spots. But Jimmy Graham he's a number one tight end, but he plays like a number one wide receiver.
He lines up as a receiver is what his agent's going to argue.
Yeah, and that's going to be a very interesting thing in arbitration here. But that's symbolic to me of, I know Carolina's got bad contracts, as you mentioned to me off air, to Marty Hurley era, of course. New Orleans got a lot of bad contracts themselves. By the way, when we look into the distant part of it here, maybe possibly Drew Brees as well. They may end up paying Drew Brees for some Albert Pujols type years before it's all said and done. We're not at that point yet.
No, you're correct.
We're not there. But New Orleans is not in a great position cap-wise either. I'm picking them to slide back to 8-8. I'm picking Carolina 10-6.
Okay, so I'm...
We're sort of doing the same thing with
different
teams.
We're doing the same thing teams. With different teams.
Yeah.
I don't think either team will match its win total from last year.
I don't either.
Let's talk about it.
12-4 Carolina, 11-5 New Orleans. Neither one of us have them matching
that. Yeah, I said before the year New Orleans would be 11-5. They hit it. And Carolina, I said 8-8. They went 12-4. I could see Carolina going back to 8-8 just because, again, not to cite the history, but it's interesting that these two teams seem to be in similar situations, not cap-friendly
right
at all. So Yeah, neither of them will match their win total from the previous year. And another reason we have to think that is not just the cap, it's that the bottom two are going to be better.
They're going to refund some wins, yes.
Because no one thought either the Falcons or Bucks would be 4-12, particularly the Falcons, a team that I know you've always had more regard for than I do.
Well, and the thing of it is, too, I go back to what you said at the beginning of the year that was very interesting, and you said that you didn't really have a good feel for Tampa Bay on what they were going to do. And
They were my NFC team that I did not have a good feel
on. They were a huge enigma to you, and they started off like crap and rallied to win four games after being winless for so long. So they were sort of an enigma within the season, because the second half of the season they were merely below average slash bad. They were horrific prior to that. And Atlanta, again, that's an anomaly, just like with Houston. And I know that I'm a guy that's been bigger on Atlanta and Houston than most in recent years, but the worst critics of these teams will tell you that that was an anomaly, and that they both went in the crapper the same year.
Well, critics for the critics bands.
They could, yeah. And by the way, as I said, they went in the crapper last year. It takes me to that great headline from Kayfabe News that said that WWE belatedly realizes that Elimination Chamber is a euphemism for toilet in every other culture of the world. I just thought that was pretty funny.
But thank you for that side note.
Yes, thank you. So Atlanta went in the Elimination Chamber, if you will, last year at 4-12. I got them bouncing back to 8-8. I don't think they're quite going to come back far enough to be in the playoffs, because unlike Houston, I only have Houston going to 8-8 as well, but I have them winning the deplorable AFC South. But in this division, Atlanta's going to be held back by the fact that they still have some holes defensively. Atlanta is in very, very good shape offensively, and they will be. And that's even with the retirement of Tony Gonzalez. But another year of Matty Ice, who's going to get back all of his weapons for next year.
And that's key. That team was hit hard by injuries.
They were hit real
with
hard.
With Roddy White.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on the Falcons. I can see them getting back to 8-8.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of holes to address. I kind of like the Giants, actually. They're pretty strong at the skilled positions, although not running back.
Yeah.
And again, the Giants aren't either. But they've got the Falcons have probably the best starting receiving duo in the league. They've got a great quarterback, but they're awful on both lines.
Well, if they're strong at flashy spots, then maybe they're not even so much like the Giants as another team in that division, Dallas. Dallas has been the flashy spots standout team of recent years.
Yeah, I can see
that. And holes in a lot of the other places. Maybe Atlanta. But I think Atlanta's holes are not as bad as Dallas's, though.
Yeah, they're pretty similar, I think.
I think Atlanta would win the NFC East. Hey, were you talking
possibly
about that with Chicago? I got them
possibly.
I don't think
Atlanta's necessarily as good as Chicago. I said Atlanta 9-7.
Okay.
Going into last year, went 4-12, but it's interesting to note that 9-7 was a pretty bold step when you consider they were 13-3 the year previous, two years ago. So it's been a huge fall.
I remember I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? You're only giving them 9 wins?
Yeah. It's been a huge fall from 13-4 wins. They're obviously going to bounce back. But I'm with you. I just don't think they're a playoff team, though. They'll address the line issue, one of the two sides of that number 6 pick. There's been some talk they would move up to number 2 to take Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
I don't know if St. Louis will accommodate them, considering that the Rams and Falcons seem like they could be rivals for a wild card spot. Do you really want to help a team? Plus, the Falcons could screw them over and wind up taking a lineman that the Rams want.
Right.
So the Falcons will address either line with their 6th pick, but they still have some other holes to fill, and that's going to eventually, I think, cost them. They don't win the division.
Yeah.
Although, they could do some things in free agency.
Yeah.
They have to be better in free agency, what they did last year with Umanyora and Steven Jackson, which were two huge busts.
I think realistically they're on a 2-year program. I think this offseason and next offseason, and they could make another hellacious run in the NFC, maybe get back to the NFC championship game. I just think they narrowly miss out on the playoffs this year. That takes us to Tampa Bay, who, again, both of us, as you said, expect to jump up again this year. They were 4-12 a year ago. A little bit of that was a fluke. A little bit of that is a fact that Greg Schiano does not belong in civilized society, much less the NFL. They're going to be set up better having Lovie Smith in there this year. I got them bouncing back to 7-9, which is, I think, closer to their talent level. And, again, they're a team. They still have some holes on both sides of the ball, but I expect them to get back a full year out of the superstore, Doug Martin. I do think that they're going to be set up pretty well to get, I think, some good quarterback play out of Mike Glenn, and I like him at 7-9. I don't think they're going to set the world on fire, but, you know, we talked about that before, Kansas City. Are they going to look more like they did the second half of the season or the first? I think Tampa Bay is going to look more like they did the second half of the season than the first half last year, which was just horrific. for them.
I can see Tampa Bay, like Atlanta, going from 4 to 8 wins.
Okay.
I said 7 wins last year. They woefully underperformed. Like you said, they'll be better just because they don't have Greg Schiano as their coach anymore. They were the victim of a ton of close losses early, if you remember. They lost by 1 opening week against the Jets. Remember, there was that horrible penalty that went against them?
Right.
Then they lost by 2 to New Orleans. Week 4, they lost by 3 to Arizona. They took Seattle to overtime when they were still winless. So that's 0-4 in close games. And they won 2. They were 2-4 in games decided by one possession.
So they were the anti-Colts then.
Yeah. So, like Atlanta, there's no reason to believe that this team doesn't improve. I think that this division does end up like I thought it would be this past year, more congested with now one dominant team. Nobody really saw it being a haves, have-nots situation in 2013 like it ended up being. But Mike Glennon, I don't know about him.
I'm not sold on him.
When you have the other three quarterbacks in the division, again, it's like Minnesota in the north.
Yeah, I mean,
you got Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Mike Glennon. Which one doesn't belong? Although Tampa Bay's got, I think, a pretty good defense. It's interesting with Atlanta and Tampa picking back-to-back in the draft. I can see them both wanting the same players. Atlanta gets the spot first. So if Atlanta took one of the two tackles, Robinson out of Auburn or Matthews out of A&M, I could see Tampa Bay going with Khalil Mack if he's still on the board. If Atlanta went with Khalil Mack, I could see Tampa Bay taking the second tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting there. I think that both of those teams are looking at the same players.
For the betterment of Glennon's development, we touched on it previously looking at some other teams. This is a very deep wide receiver draft. They need to get their paws wet somewhere along the line at that position.
If it'll be interesting if Sammy Watkins is still drops to him at 7.
Yeah, oh, that'd be a no-brainer. Yeah.
You think, well, the rumor has that the new regime doesn't like Mike Williams. I think he's
okay.
He's been getting in the police report one too many times for their liking. So,
yeah, well, that's very possible, but yeah. A more congested division, yeah. Because I got Carolina winning it at 10 games, 1, and Tampa Bay at 7 at the bottom end. So, yeah, only 3 games separating them, my rudimentary grasp of math tells me. So, yeah, in terms of how it all shakes out, you and I are looking at a lot the same thing. A lot the same thing at the top of the division, except that for you it's New Orleans winning it, Carolina regressing it, and I got that backwards.
I just saw a little tidbit that some people are saying Tampa Bay is considering a quarterback at the number 7 pick.
Really?
That would be interesting that they would just give up on Glennon. It's interesting. Glennon was Schiano's guy.
He was, but that's... Yeah. When I bitch in the league about this creeping Mangini-ism of, I can't win with that, and just having a tantrum, I don't see Lovie Smith as being that kind of a guy. Well, I don't see Lovie Smith as being...
It had his picture at a podium above Buccaneers considering quarterback with number 7 pick.
That would greatly surprise me, because
I would be too, because they have other needs.
They do.
And they were, you talked about how much better they were in the second half than at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was with Glennon. Glennon kind of got thrown to the wolves early.
He did.
With that horrible Freeman situation.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you, when this is a weird thing. I hate when people do this, but I'm going to do it. When I saw Glennon at the podium at first, I was like, oh, this guy's no good. But, you know, he played okay down the stretch.
Right.
Carolina's a team, by the way, that after infamously doing so bad under Ron Rivera in close games, turned it around last year. So don't doubt that close game metric.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out
there. Okay. All right. Well, as always, Kyle Ross, I don't doubt that close game metric. I always accept that I am someone who is in no position to doubt El Dandy.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.